Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Uncensored. I'm Maria from Yas Mermaids, your host. And this is a Yaring International radio show. And today I have a second stew from a 50 meter who is named Sally. And I'm very happy, Sally, that you're here with me today. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
So the reason why I asked Sally to join me today was because she has experience and she also know of other people's experience with bullying, right? So I think this is a very underrated topic in the industry because it's not edgy enough. It's not pushing the limits, although it really is. And before we start, I just want to go over the definition of what bullying means. It's unwanted aggressive behavior, observed or perceived power imbalance, repetition or high likelihood of bullying behaviors, right? So basically, for me, the way I see bullying is usually when like the bully person wants to take control over, because it's all like about control. So Can you, Sally, share with us, let's start with your personal experience with bullying on board.
Sure. I can't say that I have anything too dramatic. I did have an experience a few years back where I guess we were out one night and a few of us crew, and of course there's alcohol going around, and we were out at anchor. So when we were at the bar, we knew we had I tend to run a last call at 2 a.m. And I was hanging around my chief stew at the time, and I was very young and naive, and I followed her into the more VIP area of a club. Long story short, we ended up, the night carried on, and before we knew it, well past 2 a.m. And we missed that tender. I had to stay in a hotel room that night because of missing the tender. And I stayed there by myself. And of course, in the morning, I called the boat and I asked for a tender to come pick me up. And I was very apologetic. I recognize that I do take accountability for the action. But when I called the tender, I left the hotel immediately, ran down to the port, and they had already left. Understandably, they couldn't wait for me because it did take me about 15 minutes to get there. And I had to take a small fishing boat out to the yacht to get there and go to work. And granted, I was maybe 15 minutes late for work. And again, I certainly don't take that lightly. I recognize the behavior and how it played out. But when I got to the boat, everyone basically, other than the deck crew that were helping me to get onto the boat from the tender, were watching me through the CCTV cameras. And I just felt mortified, like mortified. And as if that wasn't worse enough or bad enough, what made it worse was that the first mate at the time felt it appropriate in his way to call me names, really harmful names, dirty names that obviously he assumed that I was in a hotel with someone else. And I know I was not. And at the time, I was just so embarrassed. I just didn't even know how to stand up for myself or explain myself or really express to him my truth in that moment, in that scenario. And I guess I use this example because to me, it felt like bullying because it lasted for a little while. It wasn't just mention something out of perhaps anger or reaction and then let it go. It carried on and it felt very harmful. It felt very unnecessary. But at the time, I did, like I said, I didn't know how to stand up for myself and say to him, look, like what you're saying to me is making me feel a certain way. I don't appreciate it. Let's have a conversation about this. Again, he was in a way a superior in a leadership role. So yeah, it was hard for me to find the words, to find the courage actually to really say that. And
your head of department at the time, your chief stew, she didn't stand up for you or anybody else in the crew.
No, I think no, she did not, but it was just an awkward scenario. I think I was on my own in that. And in the moment, I just didn't know how to stand up for myself.
Yeah. And I think that's a big issue on board where just because you're a head of department, you're not a leader. You know what I mean? You're just a management position, but you may not even know how to manage people. And I think this is a perfect example where the head of department felt that they had the power to install fear and aggressive behavior towards somebody who was in a lower rank. And then nobody else around them actually had the leadership skills to stand up and say, hey, enough is enough. This is not okay. And obviously, you being so young, you didn't feel like you were capable of, like you said, standing up and saying, hey, I'm not okay with it. And when it comes down to bullying, this happens a lot. And this is why I think also bullying tends to go under the radar, because nobody really stands up for the person, even though they know the person may not be able to do that for themselves. A lot of people just say, oh, that's really F, and that's it. But they don't help the person, or they don't intervene. And like you say, it's not, okay, the person had a moment, anger came through, whatever, which is not okay. It's okay, that happened. Let's talk about it and forward. It was something that it was repetitive.
And exactly.
And I think that's very important, because if you find yourself in that place where the same thing happens over and over, hello, that's your sign. You are being bullied. You are being harassed verbally. Unwanted aggressive behavior, period. That is somebody bullying, which is exactly what that guy did.
Yeah. And even though perhaps it was not intended that way, I think that's the thing about bullying, is there's such a gray area. It's not so black and white at times.
I think there is the conscious bully where it's, okay, I am going to do this because I want to create this on you. And they know they're bullying people. But there's also that unconscious bullying, but they're not aware that's what they're doing. And that doesn't make it okay, period. It may not be like they're thinking, they don't like waking up and say, you know what, I'm going to bully Sally today. No, that may not be what they're like thinking, but they're still doing it. And more than likely, a lot of people that are the bulliers, they have been bullied in the past, whether that be in their childhood, through their school or household, whatever that may be, is something that also they have experienced themselves.
Yeah, I agree. I found that to be the case in the past, that those who feel the need to pick on someone else, you can think back to your childhood, if not everybody experiences it, but you probably maybe witnessed it on the playground, perhaps. And yeah, it's not easy, because obviously a bully is somebody that is hurting, or maybe just doesn't have that level of consciousness that really will to be compassionate towards others. And whether it comes from maybe their environment at home, or just their experiences throughout life, they don't have that ability to really want to help others or to see them happy or thriving. And not all bullies are aggressive, mean people. Like you said, it's sometimes it's just something as simple as carrying on for a few weeks after an experience. Or, you know, perhaps I think it's a lot about resonance too, and not be spiritual about it, but like energy. And sometimes we just don't get along with certain people, and we can't even explain it. We don't know how or why. You can't even see it. But there's just like the kind of energy between people that they just like each other. There's the tension there. And some people act upon that. And some people make it their point to wake up in the morning, go into the crew mess and make sure that person knows that they are not liked or unwanted, which is a more kind of aggressive bully, and make comments and maybe chastise them outside of the crew if possible. Like, I've seen it happen where somebody got another person on their side to really wrangle them in and get that person to feel unwanted. But then there are some people that just maybe have a dry sense of humor too, and they're not overly intending to be a bully, but they enjoy unconsciously, I think, how it feels to put someone down. Or yeah.
And I think that's important. Like, a lot of people that bully, they're not very empathic, because if they were, then they probably wouldn't be doing it. But like you say, it goes both ways. The person that gets bullied and the bully, both of the people are hurting. Both of the people are in fear, because you cannot have a perpetrator if you don't have a victim, right? I think the most important thing here, you talked a little bit about there's banter and there's just that kind of back and forth. If you're doing that to me, and I feel like, yeah, that's cool, like I'm not taking it personal, it's a joke, whatever, then that may not be considered bullying for me.
Exactly.
But I feel like, no, you're being aggressive towards me, you're cornering me, then, or you're making up stories about me, like taking my reputation in a different way. That is definitely bully. And the extreme bully, it's the one that actually gets physical with you.
Of course.
Right? That's like the most extreme in that sense, but emotional can really have a big impact, more than what we tend to give it
any weight. Is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's very, it's in a way, not to be dramatic, but in a way, it's like aggressive abuse at times, emotional abuse, of course. You're right. It's not always physical. And I think that's why we can argue that it's not so black and white, because some people will say, oh, I didn't mean to, or I didn't hit them, or oh, I just said it a few times. But ultimately, it's all in how that other person feels. And you said it exactly right. Some people aren't aware, but it's how it makes you feel. And I think it's our responsibility that if we feel like we are being repetitively called out or repetitively picked on, or we use the word bullied, that we have to speak up for ourselves. I think that's one of the most important things, is that, because you're right, not everyone realizes that they're even doing it. So as soon as we feel like, okay, it's gone on long enough, or it's happened a few times now, I recognize it wasn't just friendly banter. This person's actually intentional. Like you said, the definition, absolutely. It's like someone who seeks to harm. There's an intention behind it. So yeah, it's very important to speak up for ourselves. And it can just be a calm, docile conversation. It doesn't have to be aggressive, fight that or bully them back in any way. It can just be as simple, hey, I don't like how you said X. I feel Y. Let's work on Z.
Yeah, I think when people communicate, I think it's really important, especially like something like this. My advice will be like, if you feel safe enough to speak with that person one-on-one, then that's okay. But if you don't feel safe enough, obviously bring a third person in. That could be the mediator kind of thing, and create that safe container. Because if there's no safety, people are not going to talk, right? And I think the way I have approached things in the past is like, I say, hey, X person, when you do this, I don't know if your intention is this, but this is how I'm feeling when you do this. Well, is that your intention? And if not, what is it? So it's almost like putting it back on them, so they answer that question. Because right. What I perceive may not be what they're intending. And then you give them that room to actually ask them, hey, is this what you intend? Then maybe they're like, oh my God, no, like totally not what I intended, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to change my behavior. So sorry. Or they could be more of an asshole. And then you realize, okay, the person in the book up and he wants to really be aggressive with me. And that's when you have to decide, either you talk to the captain or head of department and be like, hey, this has to change, or I'm going to go.
Exactly.
Or yeah, I agree. To go, because it's going to be a bad apple for everybody.
That's exactly it. If that person is treating you that way, what are the chances that they're treating others
exactly
on board that way, or not even like on that boat specifically, but maybe in the past? And it's a pattern, right? And that's something that it needs to be called out. I truly believe that, like, it needs to be called out so that we can become aware to it and make a change. And if we don't make a change, if we're the bully, then that's on us. And it is going to be difficult to maybe get hired on future boats that maybe have a very cohesive type of crew, where it's everyone wants to work in like a symbiotic type of environment. Everyone works together, works well together. You have that bad apple, it just creates a bad environment. And that's on you. That's not on the rest of the crew. It's not their responsibility to make you happier, kinder. I think that's something that we need to work on within ourselves.
I love the fact that you say working within ourselves, because I think a lot of the times we don't even know our own boundaries. And what's of each individual really, before going into any vessel, should really ask themselves, what am I a yes and what am I a no for? What's okay and what's not okay with me? And that way you can have a gauging where you're like, okay, this is okay with me, or, oh, this person is acting in a way that it's crossing my boundaries, so I need to say something to this person. Also, there is the secondary bully, right? Which is like the person that instigates, right? Yes. Like the big bully. And then there's the other one that like keeps poking, right? So there's also that. And we have to become aware of that person, because that person also needs to be called out.
That's right. I agree with that.
Because there's a lot of them. But we usually not even recognize those as bully.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times they end up doing that because they're afraid of being bullied themselves. So they just rather go the other way around.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, no, you're absolutely right. And there's so much psychology to it. We can talk about the actions, but what's deeper than that? Like, what's underneath it all? Like, really uncover why somebody feels the need to someone, even if it's mildly and social fun or humor. It's
in a simple way, it's you have a wounded little child inside. That's what it is. We can then uncover what that child needs and where it didn't get what. But at the end of the day, those who are bullying others, they're coming from fear. They're allowing that wounded little kid to come through that.
Absolutely. And insecurity. Yeah, absolutely. It stems from whether they were bullied themselves and then they feel superior now, so they feel they can do it, or they're just insecure. And like you said, maybe they do it to put others down because A, it obviously makes them feel better, feel, like I said, more superior, more that they can pick on somebody who they feel is more inferior, more vulnerable. But they also do it not just to feel good, because, yeah, I just... There's so many reasons. There's just so many reasons. Like it's insecurities within them. It's their own personal experience. And I think maybe it's in some ways, I don't want to say a game that they play, but it's obviously fun for them in some ways if they can't recognize they're hurting someone else. But I think that's when it's also our responsibility. Like you said, boundaries. I think communication and speaking up is so important. Like that is what is going to help ultimately to stop someone from continuing to make you feel inferior or to just enable their behavior, like speaking up to them, or like you said, taking it to the next level if you absolutely must, if you need someone to help you speak up on your behalf.
So you were in the position where you weren't able to speak up for yourself. If you look back into that time, and now that you're like fully in your power and you're like, oh my God, no, like we need to talk, right? We need to speak, like we can't keep silent. What is it that you feel that you needed at that time in order to express yourself?
Honestly, looking back, I know that I needed more confidence. I needed more, I guess with age comes wisdom, of course. And then you've also experienced tenfold. I've had many more experiences and brushes with things that have made me feel sensitive or insecure, or like maybe somebody was, I guess, picking on me. I wouldn't say bullying, but like picking on me. And I had to learn that it's actually okay to speak up for myself. And back then I didn't have that confidence to do that. So for me, it was just personal confidence and also recognizing that it's okay to be sensitive. Like it's okay to allow someone's actions or words to hurt you. It doesn't make you wrong in any way. You're not too sensitive. Emotions come up for a reason. And if somebody is saying something or doing something that is offending you, that's okay. You have to sit with, I had to learn to sit with myself and go, okay, why does this bother me? You know, why am I allowing this to get to me? Is it what they said? Is it how they said it? Is it that maybe they're right? Like I am doing the example that they're given, whatever the case may be. So I had to really sit with myself and learn, okay, what does it mean to me, and where are my boundaries? Like you said, what are my core values as well as a human, like accountability, or what are the things I need to say? Nope, he, she crossed the boundary. Absolutely not. That goes against my core values. No, I won't allow it. And then speak up on that. And I had to learn to be confident within myself to get to that place of speaking up.
This is a theme that continues to come up because it is the truth. This is the one thing that we are missing the most in the industry is self-development. And people don't understand that leadership is personal development. That is where leadership comes from. And until you don't go and you do what you said you did, which is sitting down with yourself, asking questions, and really getting to know yourself, there's no way you're going to have that confidence to speak up. Because you're just this vulnerable little lost person because you haven't actually taken the time to get to know yourself.
Yeah.
I wish there would be a requirement, these type of courses in our industry, because we are going into really extreme environments. Like it is extreme environments, like your living conditions, the work that you're doing, the hour that you're putting in, that all the cultures that you're dealing with, there's so much going on that if you can serve and you can make an awesome cocktail, but you don't know what your boundaries are, you're in big fucking trouble. You know what I mean? Like you are.
Yeah.
No, I think personal development courses should be requirement before anybody gets on a yacht. we would turn this industry around like this. There's no doubt about it. Because it's cool that you got to that place, but it really sucks that you had to go through so many years until you get there. I don't think that's your journey, and that's beautiful, but wouldn't it be awesome if we actually, as an industry, take more responsibility and be like, hey, you know what? Let's give the right tools to the people that want to be part of this industry, because it's also going to make you a better crew member. It's also going to make you a better deck, stew, chef, whatever role you're playing in the industry. But bad CEO work as well. It's not just in your personal life.
Yeah, absolutely. We all have different personalities, different behaviors, different patterns. I kind of joke with my friends that I feel like yachting is a playground. The things that they could dissect and analyze through our behaviors, all the personalities and, like you said, cultures that we mesh into such a small workspace and living space. It's unbelievable. It does really take really finding yourself to be able to work in that environment. We're all going to experience uncomfortable moments or crankiness. You said it exactly. Like some of the things that we experience as yachties are, come on, we all can detect a yachtie from miles away at the bar. There's usually a party level involved or alcohol or some element that, you know, we let loose once we finally get off the boat. And alcohol is a depressant. So that brings out emotions and behaviors. We are usually severely lacking in regards to sleep because we work ridiculous hours compared to, I'd say, like the average person. And that doesn't help to regulate our mood or healthy brain function. So yeah, long working hours, we're cranky, we're maybe more susceptible to that. And then even silly things like jealousy or sexual tension. Like, I don't know how many times I've seen crew go out and then crew come back home together. And, you know, it's fine, that's beautiful. We're human. There's absolutely no shame in that. But sometimes then it creates the tension the next day or even between crew or getting tipped on. You see someone have the walk of shame home and then they get teased about that. And I just think it's about recognizing like that we are human. We are all adults for the most part in the industry, and we have to live like that with each other, being kind to each other. But we also have to recognize too that a lot of people in this industry are in their 20s. I remember myself in my 20s. I did not know who the hell I was. I did not know anything about myself. I didn't even know personal development was a thing. I just knew that this was me, this is my behavior, this is me as a yachtie. And yeah, I think we have to recognize that not everyone, unfortunately, is at that age or even emotional intelligence level to be able to even want to find themselves, which then creates difficulties. And yeah, definitely.
I agree with you, but I think this is why it's so important that the head of departments that are already right in that leadership management role, they have to be doing that work. Somebody has to be held accountable for it. Somebody has to be able to hold space on board for those who are still young and wild and just, we all been there. But somebody has to, right? So if you're probably older now and you've been through a lot and now you're in the head of department's shoes, then now you should be developing yourself so you can actually lead, right?
Exactly.
And not just tell people what to do.
Yeah, because it's more than just delegating the job and the tasks at hand. It is about leading. It's about strong, healthy leadership, I feel. And you're right. It's so important, going back to your initial point, is that we really should put an emphasis on leaders taking courses on themselves, like emotional intelligence courses. I worked in the corporate world for a bit as well. And we really prided ourselves being focused on emotional intelligence and how we lead, how we consciously lead ourselves and lead a team to success. And I think if we don't have those personal skills, then absolutely that's when you're going to almost attract or hire a rotten apple, so to speak, or you're not going to keep, it's almost like parenting. Like you got to wrangle in your kids and really keep them at a level of playing well together, and also discipline. Like you got to lead them, but you have to discipline them when need be. We can't be everyone's friend if you were in a leadership role, right?
Exactly. No, I totally agree with you. I just want you to talk a little bit about your friend's experience, because you said that it was a little bit different than yours. So we see a different perspective on bullying on board.
I recall speaking with a friend of mine on the phone one time, and she was telling me about this boat that she joined. And when she got there, like it always takes time to integrate with the crew, and fair enough. But there was one in particular that she just didn't mesh with, and she didn't know why. She's very lovely, fun-loving, bubbly. She's a very compassionate person. But for whatever reason, this one person didn't like her on board and made it known to her that she did not like her. She would say things behind her back and to her face about her behavior or even work ethic, that basically like she sucks at her job or things like that. And it just got so bad that then they, like I said before too, they wrangled in, which is not uncommon, another crew member to be on their side and see it from their lens. Like, this person really is not good at their job. We should make her life feel like hell, right?
Ganging on her, basically.
Exactly. And it got so bad that unfortunately they shared a cabin too, which made it even worse and that tension for her. But it just got so bad that I remember she was sitting in the crew mess one time eating her dinner. They were on trip. Guests on board. And so you have, 5 minutes usually to eat, shove it down your throat, your meal. And she's sitting there and the two that were ganging up on her were sitting across the table and they were talking about her with her sitting there. It's as if she wasn't sitting in there though. So they were talking about her in front of her face, but as if to each other. And I just couldn't believe hearing that. Two people in leadership, like, how are we doing that? How are we thinking that's okay as a leader to even watch someone sit across from us, look at us knowing, hi, I can hear you, and still continue to say such hurtful things.
First,
at the end of the day, not everyone's a leader, and yet we put people in leadership roles sometimes and they don't have the prerequisites, which is awful. I just thought, what an unfortunate scenario. And it got to the point where, you know, I'm quite well, and she did not cry. She is not a crier. She barely allows herself to go there with her options. And she was upset. Like, she admitted that she got upset from it. So that, it was hard to hear, because then I knew, okay, like that is bullying. That is class A bullying. No one should ever be made to feel like that. And it was repetitive. It went on for a while.
And was she able to speak up? Did she talk to the captain or somebody else?
Yeah, I think she did speak up. But I mean, that unfortunately, it was one of those scenarios where it didn't get her very far, really didn't get her anywhere with that person. This person was just unconscious to it, had no ability to really accept that they were doing that. So I think what happened is a lot of the other crew were seeing it. And it got to the point where that very night when she was upset, visibly upset, another crew member went up and spoke to the captain. I think maybe the captain was aware through the grapevine type thing, but yeah, spoke up on her behalf because she didn't want to. I think she was new to the boat and she just didn't want to ruffle any feathers or make herself look like, because that's the thing. You know, you can speak up for yourself to that person. If they don't listen to you, okay, fine. What's your next step? She herself was in a leadership role. So her next step is to go to the captain. And there's always that fear in the back of your head that they might not believe you. They might not agree with you. Oh, you're just being sensitive. So there's always that risk. And thankfully, somebody helped her eventually, that those two crew members left the boat.
I think, yeah, there's that thing of, on you, am I gonna be let go or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, I always tell to people is, if you speak up and the outcome is not supportive of you, then this is a blessing, because you don't want to be there anyway. And I think, yeah, if you're new and you feel like you can't speak up on the vessel that you're in, you're not in the right vessel, because the people around you and the captain and the anybody in management, head of departments, they don't have the skill to support you in that sense, because they haven't made the impression or they haven't created the container that you feel safe to go talk to them.
I agree. Yeah, you have to be on the right vessel.
Yeah. And I think that's where boundaries, right? What type? I tell this all the time to people. I'm like, okay, do you want a XY job on any boat, or do you want to get a little bit more clear on what is it that you truly want out of a job? Like, what type of captain do you want to work for? What type of head of department do you want to be under? What type of crew members do you want to be with? With the owner you want to serve? Like, what type of guests do you want to have around? It's like, we don't question this, ask questions, because you are going to find yourself in the position that you're putting yourself in.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Because you're not doing the duties that you have to do prior to getting into a job.
Yeah. And it's like any relationship, really. Everything we're talking about, you can relate to like the dating world. You have to attract to a certain something, whether it's okay, the itinerary or the salary. And then you join the boat and then you're like, oh my God, what the shit did I get myself into? These people are insane. Yes. Or I'm not a fit. And that's totally fine. There's no shame in that. But yeah. And I think that's when it gets difficult is that then we're like, oh God, how do I get off here? Or what do I do? Or okay, we'll just stick it out. Cause we're so concerned with our CVs. I don't know about you, but everyone's so concerned about their CVs and how long you're on a boat and this and that. So, but it really is like a relationship. Like, are you a fit or not? Is this a good career for you or not? Are the owners even like worthwhile supporting or not? Sometimes we do have to, I toy with even saying this, but sometimes I guess we have to suck it up, but I disagree with that because I feel no. If we have core values, like we do need to still stand tall in that, okay, this isn't supporting me and
but
what I need.
Here's the thing. It's not about sucking it up. It's about understanding, okay, I have these boundaries. What are non-negotiables and what are my negotiable boundaries?
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
To be like X, Y, like for example, like for me at the end of my, at the end of my career, like for me, I was like, one of my boundaries was I don't want to have drunk boy strips with prostitutes on board. That's not the type of vessel I want to work for. So that is a non-negotiable, period. So every time I had an interview, I would straight up ask the captain, I was like, hey, do you have prostitutes and boy strips on board? Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't waste your time. I don't waste my time.
Yeah.
I think that's all the way you pay for my ticket for me to get there, do the first trip and be like, oh, captain, actually, I'm not okay with this. What the fuck? You should ask.
Yeah, it's so true.
They're gonna tell you what you don't ask. Nobody's gonna tell you, hey, by the way, the owner has three girlfriends and brings a woman in during other stuff. So it's like you really have to understand what you're okay with and what you're not okay with and what is a negotiable, because maybe a negotiable itinerary.
Yeah.
It's like ideally you want them in, but maybe it's negotiable. So it's okay, if I get this type of owner and this type of captain, I don't care about me in Alaska. So it's
you have to be happy.
Here, that's what I think is gonna end up saving people from getting into situations that they could potentially prevent, you know?
Oh, exactly. I'll never forget this time I joined a boat years and years ago. And back then I was starting out, working with the crew agents. So I didn't network enough in the industry at that time, to know enough people. So I stopped through a crew agent, and as soon as I got on board, things weren't exactly what they had said. And fair enough, everything was what it was that was listed to me by the crew agent. But once I got there, of course, there were crew members that maybe didn't live up to their role. For example, I remember the chief stew would sit in the crew mess because she hurt her wrist and she wouldn't do any work. It was like we were doing all the work and she sat there icing her wrist all day. And I don't want to put her down for being in that scenario, but I stayed on that boat for 4 days. 4 days of icing your wrist and you're not helping out and we're doing all the work. It didn't sit well with me, I guess is what I should say. And I remember walking off the boat. Had I known that there was not, and I didn't get the opportunity to interview with the chief steward before at all. So my mistake at the time, blindly joined this boat. And the crew agent was so irate with me. So irate that I walked on and couldn't last, obviously, a commission. I know. I know. I see. Yeah. And I get that. We all have jobs to do. I get that. But my goodness, it just didn't sit well. And it just didn't fit within what was important for me. And I want a strong leader. I want a leader I can look up to who really guides me. I was teachable. I wanted to learn the industry and be a good stew and do everything that was intended of me to do. But I didn't also want to then watch her not be taught by her, but then watch her not want to push me to that own my own success. So yeah, that was unfortunate. And then also how the crew agent portrayed the scenario as if I'm sensitive and I couldn't, like I said before, suck it up. I thought that was a little unfair.
Yeah, no. And I think, sometimes, yes, you have to walk out. And that's fine. And like you just said, people don't talk or walk away because they feel like I need longevity. So I'm just going to suck it up. I'm going to stay for a year, even if I'm being bullied. And if somebody asks you, like, why are you jumping from boat to boat? And if the reality is because every boat that you've been on is just not the right match, and you can elaborate a little bit more, be real with the possible employer.
Yeah.
Be like, listen, this is what's been happening. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be like, hey, in vessel A, I got harassed. In vessel B, I got bullied. And tell people, why have you been jumping? Because if there is a good reason, it should be said. So no, I don't think anybody should be worried about, oh, is there a gap or am I jumping a lot? Yeah, you should be worried you're jumping a lot because obviously you're not doing the work that's required before you get on board. So you stop getting those nightmare jobs. That's on you for sure. So then like, okay, go do that job. Go do that work. So you can finally land the right job for you and not the nightmare jobs. But anyway, I think we're getting off topic here. thank you so much, Sally. It's been really great talking to you about these topics. And before I go, what's your advice for those who are in a situation right now where they feel like, I am what should I do? Mm-hmm. How should I handle it?
I think first and foremost, check in with yourself. Obviously, you feel a certain emotion arise from the scenario. And I think it's just important to know yourself, to know, okay, this isn't right. I'm uncomfortable. I think for me, what I've discovered is communication is key. It's absolutely key. So it's so important to communicate. And if you can communicate directly with that person or those people, whether it's a few, about how it makes you feel. And non-violently, I read this amazing book called Nonviolent Communication. It was so great because it helps you learn on how to approach people with a really calm demeanor and ways that are non-confrontational. And then if that doesn't work, ultimately, I really think it's, you have a responsibility for yourself to maybe speak to your superior, whether it's myself and I have a chief stew, I'll speak to her. Now, unfortunately, if it's the chief stew herself that I have an issue with, okay, that makes it a bit tricky, but maybe there's another person on the boat that in leadership that can help support me. And maybe you can just have a conversation with them to ask them, okay, what have you experienced this person behave this way in the past with other people? Is it just me? Is it something? Just really weigh out the scenario and talk with others on board before going to the captain. I think as important as it is, I think to speak with the captain or at least have them be aware if there's a scenario on board, I think there are a few steps in between, which is talk with that person directly, speak with your superior if possible, and other crew members, but not in a gossipy way, of course, in the way of, hey, this is how, can I have a private conversation with you? This is how I feel. What do you suggest? What have you experienced with this person before yourself? And take it from there.
Yeah.
And leave the boat. If it's not for you, we talked about sick, leave the boat if possible.
Thank you so much, Sally, for being here today with us. Okay, guys, that's a wrap. I'll see you next time.